scope pra essa.
That's our intro.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, shorts, and cuck, and something in between. That went sideways.
So fast. So fast.
But you know what? My name is Ross.
And I'm Joe.
This isn't engraved on your heart by now, then just, you know.
Are you even really a fan?
And what? It's John McFaul Day, baby. Yes, there was a lot of sat-satting, eh?
So much.
Sat-satting. Oh, how are you doing, Jody?
I'm good.
We're north of the wall today.
So far north.
It is.
This is where John Snow settled.
My bro, do you know how I knew that I was north of the wall?
Mm.
Is when
the
I drove past a billboard which was an air fryer attack ad.
Oh yes. It's Jay Malomio. It's that auntie that's scaling because you mustn't make your half
you
moon to the air fryer.
You make kusisters in the air fryer.
Yeah, that's half moons.
I was like, whoa. Passion. It's passion here about the
Don't you
oil.
Have that on your side?
We do not have that on our side. No. What we do have is nourished.
Mm.
We have a lot of vegan places.
I thought you meant nourished as in we are well nourished.
No. Nourished is a vegan place.
Apostrophe D.
But they charge you for regular milk.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case you want to know what type of place that is.
They script the flip.
But now that I'm upset, let's get into the news.
Our wear, news and shorts.
Okay. The big one.
The Biggie.
Jonathan, major fuck up.
Major.
Okay, there's a lot of things to cover here. This is an ongoing case.
Yes.
So let us start where people usually start, at the beginning. We got a call.
Yes.
Us personally.
Yeah.
You know, because we are a news outlet. No, we're not. But we saw the report that Jonathan Majors has been arrested for assault.
Yes.
Of a 30-year-old woman, unnamed, but white.
Yeah. I didn't know that part.
Nobody's seen her.
Yeah.
Just the reports that she was white. But yes. I mean, I don't want to bring race into it, but you know, usually when it is white versus black, they do tend to go hard on the black
guys. The way that the reactions, it can influence how 100%. The reactions
so,
are.
So that's what we heard. And then already my heart sank. Because I was like, you know that meme. We were rooting for you. Yeah. We were all rooting for you.
Yes.
And we were.
You were the chosen one.
My baru.
Star Wars memes.
You know how we feel about that Bryce performance, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought he was going to fly high in the sky like the Reading Rainbow.
Yeah. There were some big plans for Jonathan Majors.
Big plans. He had contracts. Look, he's already lost a military contract.
The ads got pulled immediately.
Ads got pulled. They did make a statement to say that they are pulling it to see what the outcome of the case is.
Yes.
And then they'll decide afterwards, which is fine. But now the story's still ongoing.
Very much so.
Oh, yeah.
So he was arrested.
Yeah.
Initial statements were released by the attorneys.
Yeah.
Like evidence will come out and he'll be proven innocent. The usual stuff that we
That's
hear
what
in
they
these
say.
Situations.
I mean, they said, and I quote, they are looking forward to clearing his name.
Yes.
That's what they said.
Yeah. Then he gets, I think his bail was paid and he was released. He had the freedom cap on. Not a good look for me.
Not a good look at all. I feel like you should just wear a normal cap.
Ever so slightly contrived, if I'm doing
maybe a bicycle press cap.
Maybe.
Better than that.
Not at this time.
No, I would, but outdated, but okay.
So, as it stands right now, he's not in jail. And we have some new evidence that apparently has come forth overnight, basically.
Yes.
At time of recording.
His lawyer released images of texts. Texts.
SMS.
That's a hard one. SMS la ulav. Did you ever
SMS Ujola? No, never.
Me neither.
360. No,
that's a throwback. But they release pictures of texts. In my opinion, that's not a good look. Actually, it sounds like he is abusive, and she is just trying to make things better with him.
Yes.
So the story goes that she allegedly, when they did arrest him, she wanted to look at his phone because she was suspicious of him cheating. And then the assault happened and the police was called. But the police was called by him.
Yes.
Because apparently they had said that he was concerned. She passed out. He was concerned for her health because she had a history of mental issues.
Okay.
According to the article. I have no idea if this is true. Again, Jody and I just know what we read.
Yeah.
The stuff is ongoing. That's all we can do. Mm-hmm. Then charges were laid and they said that an arrest has to be made if there is evidence of domestic dispute.
Exactly. And the thing here is that she didn't lay charges. The police arrested him because of that part.
Exactly.
So it was visible bruising on the neck, injuries to the face as well, I think.
Yes, neck, face, and lacerations was the word used.
So when that type of thing manifests, where it looks like there's a potential for domestic abuse, you get arrested.
100%. As you should. I mean, you get a chance to prove yourself. The only thing is that this is a high-profile thing.
Yeah.
His star has risen so fast that this is really a blight, but we'll get into that.
Mm-hmm.
So now, then the story came out that she had recanted her statement, but if you read on, like you said, she didn't actually lay charges.
No. Also, the text messages that are at the heart of the...
Do you
want to
read it,
or
do you just want
to... I will just now. Okay. But the text messages that are supposedly at the heart of the recanting are unverified.
Okay.
This is literally just the attorney has gone to seemingly every major news outlet.
And I see. So,
like, given these
messages, this is probably like an attorney / PR firm that they got it. I'm like, oh, we'll charge you less, but we'll do both.
So, in the three sets of messages which were provided by Chowdhury, the attorney, the lady's identity, there are parts that are redacted to
protect
not give away
her identity.
And the messages say, please let me know when you're okay when you get this. They assured me that you won't be charged. They said they had to arrest you as protocol when they saw the injuries on me and they knew we had a fight. I'm so angry that they did this. And I'm sorry you're in this position. We'll make sure nothing happens about this. I told him it was my fault for trying to grab your phone. I only just got out of hospital. Just call me when you're out. I love you. Then there's follow-ups. They just called again to check on me and I reiterated how this was not an attack and they do not have my blessing on any charges being laid. I read the paper they gave me about strangulation and I said point blank this did not occur and I should be removed immediately. The judge is definitely going to be told this. She ensured this to me. I know you have the best team and there's nothing to worry about. I just want you to know that I'm doing all I can on my end. I also said to tell the judge to know that the origin of the call to me was collapsing and passing out and your worry as my partner due to our communication prior out of care. She promised all will be relayed.
Not a good look, Jody.
Yeah.
That is a little Stockholm syndrome-y. It's a little abusive relationship-y.
Terrible.
It sounds fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And I'm not in his corner on this.
No. I mean, look, we've spoken on about not making judgments on stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know why they released these texts.
That
because
is what I can't understand. It
the stuff that she's saying here sounds, as you said, like Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
Like she's a victim who's trying to protect the abuser because she knows what might happen if she doesn't.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
It is literally that. Yeah. Evidence is still coming out. I don't want to jump to conclusions, but it doesn't look good for you, man.
It's really not a good look. Like I said, it's coming out of jail with that cap on, the timing of these text messages, the tone of the messages. I mean, we are reading into text, so it's hard to read tone, but just what is being said in here.
Yeah.
I mean, why was she unconscious?
Yeah. Exactly.
And marks on the neck.
And she, I mean, they say, oh, it's not an assault, but we had a fight.
I read a pamphlet about strangulation and this isn't it.
A fight with a woman is still.
Okay. So there's obviously the fallout of all of this.
Yeah.
As you said, he lost that ad with the military, the American military.
They've been in talks with Kevin Feige, I'm sure.
Marvel at this point is basically saying, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, because they will recast him.
At this point, dude, they
will definitely recast him.
He is literally the named villain for your next Avengers movie.
Yeah.
He's Kang.
Yeah.
So obviously they had big plans for him. It's across series and movies that he was going to be involved. So this is a major thing on their
but
side.
This old, there's different versions of Kang.
Mm.
It does stand them in good stead if this
That's
does go
true.
South, because then they can recast him and be like, this is just another
version of Kang. That is actually probably the one thing Marvel's happy about.
Yeah.
But honestly, just what we are seeing right now, I don't know how he comes back from this in any way that...
and it pisses me off, man. Why can't we just get a good actor that's a good person? I mean, he's so good
as
an actor.
And this is the thing about celebdom at the moment.
Yeah.
It's like it's almost like you cannot profess to actually like someone because you're always waiting for the shoe's going to drop.
That's why I always say there's a caveat when I talk about a celebrity as being a good person.
Mm.
I always say,
we don't know
as
them.
Far as I can see,
we don't know
from
them.
What I know, I was in interviews, I this and this and this.
Yeah.
Because you can't. You don't know. At the only point, one we are 100% sure of is Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, and Brendan Fraser.
And Brendan Fraser. Even Tom Hanks is looking dodgy for me right now.
Tom Hanks
is.
No, it's... You have to, man.
No, I'm sorry. The text don't look good. There's also the Yale thing we didn't talk about. Yes, so people have come out from where he used to study.
From his past. Yeah. And they were all theater related, if I remember correctly. And they were saying like things like he's a psychopath.
that was literally the word used.
It wasn't like anything subtle. It was, I'm glad other people are learning about Jonathan. Yeah. I think that was a director...
There was another tweet that said, like he had tweeted it years before, and they had said,
there's an unnamed
up-and-coming actor who people don't know can be abusive and shit. Yeah. And then when this broke, someone said, oh my word, we know now it's Jonathan Majors. Yeah. And then he just retweeted saying, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he has a history of this and a pattern of this, you know where we stand, man. Fuck this guy.
And what is still sad for me is that you get the situation in Hollywood where, again, there's a history where there is a known history of people behaving in certain ways.
Mm.
And they're still getting ahead, getting ahead.
Still getting ahead. Chris Brown still has a career.
Still has a career.
It's crazy to me.
Does it take someone having to die before you actually...
I think it does, actually.
Because people don't... We just keep... Every single time, it's like, oh, everyone knew about Harvey.
They will straight up have
everyone
to
knew
someone.
About this.
Yeah. Look at OJ.
Yeah. And even there, like, Brad still got out in the end. But, like, with Harvey Weinstein, it was people knew about it and they allowed it to happen.
You must either, like, literally go to prison or kill someone, I think.
Basically.
Yeah. Although Caitlyn Jenner did kill someone and she's still good.
Still fine.
Who the fuck knows? We will see how the story unfolds. The case is still going to go on.
Yeah.
They'll come for him for sure. And we'll see what happens.
There's a bit of a lull right now. But as you said, we'll see what happens.
You know the shakeups at Disney Mouse. Oh, that's something we didn't also talk about. I removed that. We did talk about it in one of our previous episodes. But I removed it because there was more news.
Yes.
That woman who was in charge of the post-production.
Victoria Alonso.
Yeah, she was actually fired because of a contract.
Dispute.
No, not dispute. She was in breach of contract.
Oh.
She kept working on other films that she wasn't supposed to work on.
Uh-huh.
And that was a breach of contract. She was warned and she did it anyway. And then they fired her.
I also read this morning about apparently, like, she is a big advocate for LGBTQ rights and stuff and representation in film. And that there's big issues with some of the Marvel movies when they released in Kuwait that they deliberately removed. Yeah. Like, it was a storefront that had a rainbow flag on it. Kuwait is apparently not
down on
that.
Check, if you ever want to go into a rabbit hole on the internet, just look at the edited versions for the UAE and stuff of movies and even adverts and stuff. It's funny. Yeah. It's freaking funny, actually. Yeah. They just, like, edit a black block over a woman's
where
chest.
And where rainbows are, it's like... No.
Yeah, but she was fired for that reason, not for...
For all these other things out. Again, like that spin machine, bruh.
People, they go tatty. But anyway, more Marvel news. More Marvel controversy.
Mm. So also Victoria Alonso related.
So she has come out to say, and I quote, Marvel directors don't really direct.
Yeah. she doesn't name drop. She's actually apparently referencing one.
That's what's missing. Like I don't have my specs on.
No wonder you can't see what's going on. So she apparently references a director, but doesn't say who, but it's a big director who came out and spoke about their film and all of this. And she's like, that person didn't really direct the movie. When you come to Marvel, it's out.
Who are they speculating that it is?
It could be any number of people.
I mean, they work with big directors.
So Chloe Zhao obviously had the big thing about...
Ooh, Yetta. Ooh, Jay's in big trouble now.
Jenna's
on the warpath. She's literally breastfeeding and going to inflict damage at
the
same time. Jody, as long as she's not coming for us, I do not care. But yeah, this doesn't surprise me. But when working with Taika Waititi, when working with certain directors, they kind of give them more freedom. Because Taika Waititi's voice is so strong.
It's very strong in his movies.
Jody's watching cricket while we're fucking...
Multitasking.
He's not multitasking. He's looking at... And did they catch it?
Drop catch.
It's SA versus Makram.
Netherlands.
Oh, Netherlands. Whoa. I am so out of touch with cricket.
As you said... people like Taika, I'd say even if you look at the early Marvel films.
Chloe Zhao as well. There was Chloe Zhao.
That was very Chloe Zhao in the Eternals. But even the earlier movies.
John Favreau.
Kenneth Branagh
with his Dutch angles.
The Russos come through very strong in their movies as well.
Slick action.
Clearly, this isn't something that applies, I think, across the board. But the point that she's making is that when you working with,
I think
the
it's someone like Peyton Reed, for instance.
Yeah.
I don't think they give him too much freedom.
Those Ant-Man movies are voiceless.
Yeah, they are.
It's very bland.
Yeah,
which makes me upset because we lost one of the best directors, Edgar Wright, could have been directing those.
Did you see there's a Scott Pilgrim anime coming to Netflix?
Really?
The entire cast is back.
Really?
Yes.
Yo, that's a huge cast. Right? Are they going to
get everyone? They're all back.
Aubrey Plaza. Elizabeth Winstead.
Actual Scott Pilgrim. No, they're all back.
Chris Evans, Brendan Routh. That's an insane cast.
Everyone's back.
As I'm thinking through the movie.
Yes. That is nuts what that cast is like. They're all back. I'm super excited for that.
Okay. Not the natural segue.
It is what it is. But so I get this.
There's a tete-a-tete going on now, it seems, in the news between Victoria Alonso and the Marvel officials, because there was all these other things that came out about her.
Yeah.
That she was difficult to work with and she said made these crazy environments. But now there's the breach of contract. Now she comes out and says, actually, Marvel's movies are not directed by the director.
Yeah, look, I don't know, man. From what I can tell, in that industry, you never burn a bridge.
Mm.
But it seems like she set that shit on fire now. And it is, I don't know. Much. She's probably got something lined up. Look, I don't feel too badly about these people. They make millions of dollars.
They're all fine.
Yeah,
ultimately.
They are all fine. I'm just worried how this affects the art.
Yeah, and
that's my main concern.
That's what it comes down to, is the MCU is not in a good place right now.
No,
it's in a terrible place. They do not need these types of headlines.
They don't. What they need is to refocus. The whole MCU needs to go on a retreat. A yoga retreat. Just a weekend long.
Writing retreat.
Not in retreat. Just for a retreat. Because that's stressful if you're in certain parts of a retreat. Yeah. But if they go for a retreat, they recalibrate.
Shout out, retreat.
Retreat! Fall back! I'm worried about the art, and so are you.
Yeah.
Jody, you and I both love documentaries.
Mm.
But what I've learned in my almost 40 years of life is that you should always watch a documentary.
Pinch of salt.
Salt Bay there. A little chalabalas. Because every documentarian, whether they like it or not, whether they like to admit it or not,
they're giving you a certain lens.
Exactly. Through their own personal lens. They have their own biases. They have their own whatever. And you have to watch it like that. So Netflix, they're big on documentaries. And they are now being sued by a man who claims that the documentary which involves him implies that he murdered his wife.
Yeah, so the film's name is No Limits.
Have you seen it?
I haven't. But it popped up on my, recommended for you vibes. And he's suing them for defamation now because the movie says based on true events.
Yeah.
And in the film, the lead character, essentially him, I don't know if he's the lead character, but in the film, he's the person that...
Oh, is it a film? I thought it was a documentary.
It's a French film, but based on a true story.
Oh, my
but
bad.
But it is...
Just ignore that whole first section that I said.
But no, it's like a documentary.
Ross not reading properly.
Forgiven. I more just get upset when you don't read my jokes, man. You know? This is fine. This I can work with.
I'm sorry, Jody.
In any case.
Pooper man.
The only other thing we have to work on is timing.
Yeah. I'm about 5 months too late to that one. Anyway.
So... The lead character or his character tampers with the oxygen tank of his student in the film.
And it's implied that
that's what causes her to die. And because it's based on true events and it's basically based on his life and his wife died while ascending, in her case it was the balloon that she was ascending with didn't work properly.
Mm.
So she drowned while she was coming up.
Wow. What is it? What happens when you get the bends?
The bends is when your carbon dioxide and oxygen levels are not right. That's why you can't go up too quickly.
Yeah.
You have to go up slowly so that your oxygen and carbon dioxide levels.
Got you.
And hydrogen levels probably. I don't
know. Yeah, science, bitch.
Science, bitch.
Sure. This movie podcast, you're learning shit. It's crazy.
Neither of us took that subject, though. So, are you really learning?
It's true. I literally just passed geography.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, this is a dick move, I think.
And I mean,
was he charged?
So, it says, yeah, I don't think he was ever charged.
Oh, was he investigated?
Probably investigated.
Okay.
But this is more focused on his case against Netflix. Because
no, but says, I mean, yeah, like, that. So
in real life, you are asking.
Yeah, because if he was being investigated or whatever, there would be would be a level of suspicion.
That isn't revealed yet. What they are saying here is that in his case, the reason he's going after them is that they made a dramatic decision to very clearly state that this person tampered with the oxygen and caused that person's death.
Yeah.
And we all know it's based on him.
Yeah.
And what they then focus on or go on to focus on is that Netflix is just being sued a lot at the moment.
Yeah.
For different things.
I mean, they don't make money as a business.
It's a fucking
But
it's
they
a
need money for legal fees, apparently.
I want to know where the money comes from.
Boom, 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 rat, 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 quick fire. Okay, Nicolas Cage denies staying in character on Dracula set. I don't believe him.
No. So the director of this movie came out and said Nicolas Cage stayed in character for the whole thing. So he plays Dracula in the new film Renfield.
Yes, and he eats it up. Yeah. He's hamming it up.
And the way that he responds also, he's like, I don't remember
That's
it like that.
That's not my recollection of what happened. He's like, I laughed in between
maybe
scenes.
It's because I kept my teeth
but
in.
How was he laughing, man? Was he doing, one stinky dinky, No, I mean, I don't believe him. I believe the director.
I really don't, because it's both the director and Nicholas Holt have both said
But I'm here for it. I don't think he should be ashamed of it.
Whose blood is he drinking?
Anyway, next one. Tarantino's final film is announced.
Yeah, so his final movie's coming out.
It's not
out.
His final movie. It's bullshit.
You don't think he's sticking to his 10 movies and done? Well, technically, it's his 11th film.
It's called The Movie Critic, right?
Yeah.
I don't believe it's his final film. I think that he is too in love
with
Hollywood, with the process, with all of that. He's too in love with it. And one day, he's going to be sitting on the toilet, eating eggs, I don't know, and he's going to be like, yo, I have this idea for
Not
a film.
By the hair on my chin, is what he's going to say.
Do you agree with me?
I don't think he's going to stay away. I mean, the dude is... How old is Quentin Tarantino now? Not that old.
Not old?
He is immersed in film. Like, he has a podcast that he does with one of his frequent collaborators where they, like, review odd movies that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, it's called Quentin Tarantino.
If not,
it should be.
Just came up with that. That's class.
Thanks, man. Sometimes I'm on.
Just package that.
ADHD meds is kicking in. Questlove directing a live-action remake of The Aristocrats. I must be honest, Jody, I don't... care about this.
Cats.
Sorry, I don't care about that. I've never seen this film.
This is not one of the Disney movies that's
on
my...
Is it a popular one?
It's from the 70s. In any case, what's fun though is that this film apparently has heavy jazz influences.
Skiddy pop pop.
And Questlove and jazz influences.
Okay,
I think this could work.
But I mean, they have to make it a bit more fun than Soul, I think.
Maybe less James Corden in this film.
If that man is in this film.
Less Corden, less butthole cut.
If that man's in this form, I'm throwing the whole thing away. I don't know how he keeps getting work. He needs to fuck off back to the UK. But the UK don't want
him. No one wants him. No one wants him. He did one thing in the UK that people liked, and it wasn't even him that they liked. And when he went to the US, they were like, thank goodness, and he's still around.
Okay, well, let's move on to our final story. You run with this one.
Yeah, so if you didn't know, April Fool's occurred recently.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt really has like a sense of humor. He announced on his Instagram that he has been cast as the voice of Mickey Mouse in Disney's new Mickey Mouse film.
Brilliant. That's brilliant. I mean, no notes.
Just brilliant.
I have my issues with Chris Pratt, but no notes on this one.
This is
absolutely class. And you know what, Jody? That Mario movie is going to make money.
It's
going to
make billions. It's going to make billions. People can moan now.
They can moan. They can do whatever. It's going to make bank.
Alfred has been complaining to me all week because he watched the trailer. He's like, Diamond? Why is this Mario? All week. He's still going to watch that movie with his lighty when it comes out.
No, I'm going to watch it. And I don't even have a lighty.
Everyone always forgets on April 1st that people are going to do this type of shit.
Look, I think it's because of the stress of capitalism. People don't know what day it is.
Mm-hmm.
So they just like April Fools. I didn't even know it paused.
Yeah.
But I didn't see. Usually you see a lot more stories like of
we don't really watch the news all that much.
That is true. We like our bubble.
Yeah. Very comfy in that bubble.
That's right.
Very comfy.
Sec, it's time for a review.
This week we are reviewing John Wick Chapter 4. No more subtitles. We're done with that.
It's only one. Parabola.
This one is directed by Chad Stahelski again for the fourth time. And in this film, with the price on his head ever increasing, legendary hitman John Wick takes his fight against the high table global as he seeks out the most powerful players in the underworld, from New York to Paris to Japan to Berlin. Yes. This movie has an amazing cast. One of my favorite casts for this year, in fact. Obviously, Keanu Reeves returns as John Wick. We have Lawrence Fishburne as the Bowery King. Ian McShane is back as Winston. Lance Reddick in his final role as Sharon. Clancy Brown joins the cast. Bill Skarsgård joins the cast. Donnie Yen joins the cast. Hiroyuki Sanada joins the cast. Shamir Anderson, really in the fun new addition to the universe. Maybe I should stop there for now.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, my other favorite, Scott Adkins.
If you know Scott Adkins, you know he's a stuntman first.
Yeah.
And he's an actor second. And if you go into the Scott Adkins rabbit hole, you'll find some maybe not the best films in terms of quality. But that's a word.
Cult hits.
But amazing stunts, amazing fight choreography, amazing stunt work.
Incredible.
And that's what he's known for. Stop watching the cricket. I can see your fucking eyes. Anyway, okay. Ooh. Let's go with performances.
Sure. So Keanu Reeves has got some flack for his, how many words does he have in this movie?
380.
In a film that's almost 3 hours long.
It's one of the least amount of dialogue for a star in history.
People who complain about that do not understand this character. I'm sorry.
Do you know why?
Why?
They gave him the script. Mm-hmm. And he edited it. He got rid of so much of the dialogue,
I love that.
I'm sorry, I have quite a number of facts, but they're not coming up. My notes aren't syncing.
Okay.
So I'm trying to remember them.
I trust you.
Okay.
Okay, so
but that's one of the facts. He cut most of his dialogue out himself.
I think this is probably my favorite John Wick performance since the first one.
Yeah, whenever they add a new character, there's a risk, right?
Yes.
There's a risk it can be too campy. There's a risk it can throw off the balance. Mm. It can do whatever. But every new character added in this film just elevated
Pitch
it.
Pitch perfect.
100%.
Really?
Tonally, even Scott Adkins' character was over the top and just campy and chewing scenery.
But perfect.
Perfect. Yeah, because you can't believe that this weird man stays in this weird place and acts like a weirdo.
It just makes sense.
100%. So all performances for me, even the new addition of Rina Sawayama, she's a pop star.
Oh, she's a Akira. Singer.
Yeah. So she plays Akira.
Chad
Stahelski saw her and realized that she was a pop star. Stop watching the cricket. And then saw her dance and stuff and said, okay, well,
she could do the action.
She looks really cool. She can dance. She does choreography and stuff. And then he just contacted her and offered her the
role. She has no martial arts background and she was pulling off all of that.
Yeah, bro. Choreography.
That is,
I would say Donnie Yen. I knew he was going to be great. But I feel like once I saw him in the film, I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah, Donnie Yen
blew me away.
Yeah, I didn't know. None of us knew which way they were going to leave.
We didn't know
him.
The context.
Yeah, we had no context. There was all these theories going out. I just stopped reading them at some point.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, you just, it's too much. What they chose to do, perfect.
It was brilliant. I would say then my next favorite character was the Skarsgård brother.
Yes.
Which one is that? Bull.
Bull. I
thought he was French.
I
thought he was French in that film.
And he's a Swede.
Yes, he's a Swede.
But as a villain, I want to say he's probably the best villain in the franchise for me so far.
Some of the best suits I've ever seen. Fantastic.
Dressed, but that threat that... just the power. He exudes power through this whole movie.
This might be a little bit of the spoiler, but you don't necessarily get to see the high table per se. But they mention that he has been given the power of the high table.
He is the high table manifest.
Exactly.
Basically.
And you like, you feel it.
Yeah.
You feel high table.
We have to go into story. Non-spoiler.
No. Then I just want to mention the addition of the new Mr. Nobody. The tracker, they call him.
Yeah, he's not Mr. Nobody's his character.
I know he introduces him, but when I was reading and stuff, they call him the tracker.
Okay, because that's what John calls him.
Yeah.
He says to him, are you
Nobody, the tracker with his puppy.
Fantastic.
I like the morally ambiguousness of you, like moral ambiguousness.
But
of
so many of the characters, you don't quite
you don't know
where
they're gonna be. Yeah. Anyway, story wise,
very deliberate step back in pace in this film, right? Yeah. So this does not, unlike the previous two sequels, which all set off right after the other film. Yeah. This one's a step.
He had to heal. He had to heal emotionally, physically. Mentally.
Not that left hand.
No. Did you watch it in IMAX?
No, I couldn't.
Jody.
I couldn't.
I knew I was in the right place when Abby said, this is too loud. And I was like, yes, this is right where I belong. And that opening scene where he's hitting the thing, it literally was vibrating my seat underneath. Glorious. It was glorious.
Okay. Nanny Chris.
Yeah, sorry.
We step back in place. We have the previous film ended with Winston shooting John off the roof.
Yeah.
And John tumbling and then getting up and kind of running away. So we were all like, yeah, John is for trap.
Yeah, he's for trap.
I don't know. If they had again started the movie from there, I felt like I almost would have been like, the pace is just too much. It can't keep going like that.
Yeah.
So it was a deliberate step back, which I loved.
I love that.
And now we get introduced to the fact that choices have consequence.
Mm.
John's choice to come back into this world, Winston's choice to kind of close the high table.
Yeah.
Everything has consequences. And those consequences hit right from the start of this.
Did you go alone?
Yeah.
Harajin.
She chose her children over me again. Every time.
I honestly think you would have loved that film.
I'm sure I would have, but you know there's this little thing called responsibility. So.
10 more Panado. 10 more Panado.
Yeah.
3 Emperor Pets.
And a little... a teaspoon of sugar, drop of brandy on it.
Here we go. Mm.
How's the medicine go down?
Okay, Mary.
I agree with you. I like that change of pace. Mm. I really did. I like that break. And I felt like, okay, they recalibrated. And now he has to fucking go for it.
This felt like a recalibration.
100%.
And in all the best ways.
Oh.
So, and what I also love, the story jumps around, which the previous movie did, but this time it feels like we're settling in locations as well. So it's not just like they're going to the Moroccan desert quickly for 5 minutes and then they're going to...
Well, which they did, but it didn't feel like globe hopping.
It didn't feel like that.
Yeah.
This movie felt like...
At one point I was thinking, how's he getting around? But then I was like, why am I asking this question?
As John Wick. There's probably some like continental transport system that everyone...
And even the weight of him being in certain places and the consequences that are following him around, I really enjoyed that. Yeah. I enjoyed the pacing a lot.
Yeah, I mean, this movie is a long movie.
It's long. I didn't feel it, personally.
I went to watch it at the 8 o'clock showing. And towards the end, I was like... I'm feeling a bitchy tired, but it was because
you were tired.
I was physically tired, but it's not the story.
Not the story.
The story's pacing is immaculate. Like,
amazing.
There's
the beats are amazing.
It's pace and then pulling it back.
Because I like, even at the beginning when it's building up, you know the action is coming. Mm-hmm. You're sitting in a fucking John Wick movie.
Exactly.
But the way it builds up and they lay the land, like what it looks like currently. Mm-hmm. Well, the consequences of the previous film come to light.
Yeah.
Things happen. They put things in place, and then it's gratatatatata, and then it takes a break again. And it's like, oh shit, that gratata happened. Now we need to move things forward this way, and this is now the consequences of that. And then it's gratatatata.
And on that gratatatata, how Chad Stahelski still manages to find new ways to show that. That aerial shot that he did.
So that's inspired by a game called Hong Kong Massacre. And it's an aerial shooter, a bird's eye shooter.
Mm. I don't like the old GTAs and stuff.
Let's not talk about this now, actually. Unless we want to go into quality of action.
Let's talk quality of action. Because there's not a lot of story we can reveal without spoilers.
In all honesty, this is some of the best action I've seen. I'm a big advocate for The Raid, right? Yes. And I still think hand-to-hand.
Mm.
Amazing.
Yes.
Gunplay, nothing can touch John
nothing,
Wick.
Ever.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Ever. Not 3 months he trained for this one.
And does he not get old?
He does. He gets old and tired. He does get old and tired. The stair scene, for instance, before we get into that, he was literally so tired. And Chad Stahelski said, like, he gets it and he understands, but it played so well into the movie.
Yes.
Because he was just exhausted.
It's amazing.
And that aerial shot,
they tell you the number of stairs. Like, who's gonna help him up those 226 days?
That aerial shot, for one, is from Hong Kong Massacre. Mm. They built the set. They literally started on the Monday. The set was built by Sunday. And then they shot it with those sports cameras.
The
one that was connected with four ropes.
Yes.
And they went from there. And
Spider cam.
It, yeah. They brought it over on top. And he moves through with the fire. He has a fire the dragon's breath shotgun.
Yeah. Another fantastic addition.
It is so beautiful to watch. Visual. It is honestly, I turned to Abby and I was like, I can't even believe this. She's like, it's fucking amazing.
We got mixed reviews from a close
friend. Alfred is wrong. Alfred is wrong. Alfred Adrian. Stick to comedy, my friend.
Alfie, I wasn't gonna name drop.
Stick to comedy. Stick to loving your wife. Stick to your family. Stick to the things you know.
And come to Cape Town.
Because John Wick is, in my opinion, I don't want to give my rating first, but it is the best one since the first one.
Yes. Unquestionably. With the action, yes, they repeat stuff we've seen before. Like his fighting style, the MMA infusion.
Enough, man. They give you enough newness, man.
No, this is what I'm saying. They're bringing stuff that we know, which is true to John. Like, that's how he fights.
Mm.
But he's evolving all the time.
All the time. He has to.
There's times where he's like reloading his gun. I feel like I want to watch for those details.
Mm. Where I'm going to rewatch it.
I couldn't even see. That's how fast he's moving.
Mm.
Where he's reloading. But you know he's doing it.
Yeah, you know he's doing it. And then the introduction of the new characters with different fighting styles.
Yes.
And them all fighting together, getting through it. But you see, they'll take, like, say, for instance, henchmen attack a place, John Wick must fight.
Yeah.
Then they'll add an element of archery.
Yes. With the and Osaka. And then it's like,
what ideas can we do with
Osaka
the archery?
Osaka Continental, bruh.
The fucking... Where they shoot that bruh's leg into the wall.
Yeah. Because John shoots him and, like, none of his bullets get through. And then the guy's going to kick him and then just... Okay. So, all fantastic additions.
Oh, okay. Donnie Yen.
Mm.
The blind character. He's blind in the form.
Yes.
And the way fights. Yeah, the way he fights. I mean, come on.
Donnie Yen is Donnie Yen, bro.
Bruh, Donnie Yen's gonna Donnie Yen.
And also, this is divorcing Donnie Yen from all of the pro-China stuff. There's obviously...
We're talking about the movie now.
This is just Donnie Yen.
My favorite thing that he did was the two stabs, the two quick stabs.
Yeah, constantly. It looks like he's just checking something with his sword. And he's just like, just light...
And you know that's two hot shots.
Just like your heart is gone.
So good. The way he moves, the way he touches everything, brilliant.
The introduction to his character, because I don't think it's a spoiler to say he hasn't been blind his whole life.
No.
So he's blind for a reason.
Yeah.
But there's a lot that he's still, like, he's adapted well in certain instances.
Yeah.
But with some things you can see he hasn't been blind his whole life because of how he orientates himself to his surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
Where he'll still be checking stuff a lot, or he still, like, moves his
foot
slowly.
But that's what makes it so good, because the concept of him, say for instance, being hired to go after John Wick.
Mm.
Is like, how?
Yeah.
But then you see him in action and you're like, I'm bought in.
Yeah,
I
believe it.
Take my money. I'm in.
I mean, it's the one thing that I haven't done yet is I have, like, these types of villains.
Yeah.
You know, like, almost like a Bond henchman vibe, except much better.
I really like the main henchman also.
The Spanish guy.
Yeah.
What is that guy's name?
Probably like Esteban.
Yeah, probably like, you know, they're not even giving this guy.
But he was also very good. Because they always have a main henchman.
Yes.
And this main henchman was really good.
He was. This bro's not even named on IMDb.
Scott Adkins, right? That fight. In a fat suit. He was apparently, it was extremely difficult. Not only because he's fighting in a fat suit, but he's fighting in water in a fat suit.
Oh, yes.
So it got waterlogged all the time. Oh. And he had to do all those moments with extra weight.
The only way I realized it's Scott Adkins is from the kicks.
Yeah.
That's what.
Yeah.
No one kicks like
Scott Adkins.
I'm looking at this guy and I'm trying to figure out who he is. You can see where the makeup starts.
Yeah.
Like, the top part of his face is normal. And I couldn't figure out who it is.
Yeah.
And then the fighting started. I'm like, oh, I know who this bruh is now. That has to be Scott Adkins.
Hi, bruh. It's so good. Every beat. This was like a video game.
Mm.
It played out like a video game. And I really appreciated that. You know, in order to get out, he had to get all the way back in.
Yeah.
Go back to the family. All that. The way. I mean, I'm not talking spoilers now. I'm talking very broadly. Mm. But it was, I don't know. I'm ready to give my rating.
He had to re-immerse himself
I'm ready to give my rating.
It's Kwai.
It's Kwai.
It's probably the quietest movie I've seen this year.
Yeah. Like, so far.
Honestly. Yeah. I mean, I know it's only April now, but
yeah, this movie's Kwai, bro. John Wick dies.
He dies.
The Continental gets broken.
It's blown up. Blown to shit.
Sharon dies.
R.I.P. Lance Reddick.
You made your choice.
Go outside.
It was sad to see.
I think
this isn't his final because he filmed things for the ballerina.
Yes.
So, but it was sad to see him go so quickly.
John Wick 5 was announced as well. So I've got some theories that I'll run by. But let's first talk story. Yeah. So, we know what happened in part 3. John was all of that shit, right?
Yeah, he was all of that shit.
This movie is all about the consequences of from part 1's choices till now. Mm. So the Continental gets, what do they call it? It's been...
something.
Yes.
Basically. You know they use Latin words for excommunicado and destructurado.
But this is like the normal thing, man. And Clancy Brown, fantastic addition as the Harbinger.
So good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So
he comes in one.
And he's like,
Clancy Brown.
this building has been whatever. Almost like
Do you think they'll get that reference?
It's going to be bombed. And they give him an hour.
Yeah.
And Winston and Sharon go off. They meet the Marquis.
Are they so old school? He brings a fucking
hourglass.
Yeah, you have an hour. Boom. Hourglass. And it's a literal hourglass.
And they meet the Marquis. And from the start, as we said, Bill Skarsgård just exudes
kills
power.
It. He kills it.
He's it.
Yeah.
And the ability to bring down a Continental, this building that controls all of these assassins in this universe.
Mm.
And this bra literally is just like, nah, we're going
to
bomb you.
But that's why even when they go to the Osaka one, so there's a relationship with John Wick and the head of the manager of the Osaka.
Yeah,
what's his character's name?
Shimazu.
Yeah.
Hiroyuki Sanada, another.
Didn't he was supposed to be in 3.
Yes.
But he went to
Mortal Kombat. Probably.
Something else, yeah. Anyway, he made a different decision because I think he just got hurtful and he was like, sometimes you have to make the right decision. And John Wick is in the right, yeah.
The undercurrent here is that people are pissed at the high table, I think. So like Winston and Shimazu, that they are actually not 100% on board, even though they've got all this power, that they aren't on board with what the high table's doing.
Yeah.
But there's consequences for them, bruh.
No, it is. You go all the way back to the first one. He didn't ask for this.
No.
He was brought back into the fold because of something that happened.
Well, that's more part two, Santino.
Yeah, but still, like the high table just kept coming for him.
Every single time.
And it's like at some point, they all just realized, nah, man, they can't keep getting away with this.
So speaking of, in this film, Winston literally sits John down and he says, listen, what's your plan, bro? Because you can't keep going at them.
Yeah.
They're going to have more guns than you.
But I mean, when they have the conversation, he was literally going to just keep
going. That was his plan. He's like, what does this badge mean? Cool.
Yeah.
Another bro to kill.
I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
Winston actually gives him a plan.
Yeah.
He said, go and get your family crest back. So you can
call for a duel.
And which is
the most old school thing.
I loved it. Just before we go to the duel, what did you think of the dog?
The dog is amazing. My anxiety, Ross, that the dog would die.
Abby couldn't deal, my bro.
Spoiler, the dog lives.
The dog lives.
So anyone that goes in worrying about that.
I keep telling you, they won't kill another dog.
I know.
They won't kill another dog. Don't worry.
Halle Berry's dogs made it out. Their movie.
I know.
So I half wondered if they were going to almost like overplay that character's hand by making it too similar to her character. But
they didn't.
This guy stands his
edition
on his
is
own.
Cool. I like the bulletproof backpack.
That was
the notebook.
Yeah.
All that jazz. So he has this notebook where he writes down everything. Mm.
He draws also.
Yeah. And he said like in an interview that when he was building the character, he like sketched out all those notes for him to like learn. He had like dog treats and all the stuff in the backpack.
So
and
he immersed himself.
Yeah. He like got fully into it. And I really liked him. You don't know what... Oh, and the money that he was trying to make was had something to do with his mother. That's in his head.
Okay, that's why.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
That's why he was morally ambiguous because he had another goal.
Mm.
And once John Wick saved his dog, he thought, okay, this guy can't be.
Which directly ties back to the first movie because John sees that
and
lead
he
henchman.
Knows.
Yeah.
He knows the relationship, the love between a person and their dog.
Now, again, character choices, story choices.
So good.
Your Chad Stahelski, we haven't even like really spoken
and
about him.
And this didn't involve the other guy.
David Leitch. Yeah. No, this is Chad Stahelski on his own. David Leitch was the one that was from the start.
Was it David Leitch?
They co-directed the first John Wick. There might be a writer that I'm missing.
Yeah, I'm talking about the writer.
Okay, but obviously David Leitch has not been involved since the first movie.
This is Chad Stahelski on his own, and I honestly think it's the strongest one.
Since the first one. Yeah. And even there, it's like, with time, it might actually win me over.
In terms of the stair fight, so long when he fell, he has to find his way all up the stairs.
The emotional,
and he falls all the way down. So basically, Keanu Reeves did all his stunts except for that one.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah,
he could have died.
Yeah, he could have died.
We didn't mention Arc de Triomphe. That entire scene.
Those two sequences, Arc de Triomphe, cars riding around. You don't know where it's gonna. Guys getting hit out of nowhere.
Yeah,
throwing people against moving vehicles. It's like,
I don't know how they conceptualize it. Keanu Reeves did 90% of his own stunts for this film.
Yeah. Trained for 3 months on one, did it. And then the cool thing is he gave all the stunt guys t-shirts with how many times he killed them in the movie. Because they recycle stunt guys, obviously. You just put them in different wardrobe. They do a fight again, and then they all have a list. Mm. He also gave them Rolexes.
Oh, he gives the most amazing gifts to the
crew. He gave them all Rolexes and t-shirts and stuff. He's that guy. So that was really cool.
I think that the guy, the henchman, is Marco Zaro. Marco Zaro.
Esteban, yeah. So the Arc de Triomphe scene, my favorite. The Dragon Breath shotgun, my favorite. And stair sequence.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Agree with you.
I really also like the fact that the climax.
I'd add Osaka. Osaka as well.
Yeah, but I mean, Dragon. Yeah. Oh,
no, just in terms of sequences.
All the major action sequences, amazing.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that the climax was quiet and subdued.
Yeah.
Because it was a duel.
It's a duel.
Mano a mano.
And the twist there was, again, brilliant. Because the reason... Yeah. So, going back to Donnie Yen, the reason he does what he does is that he has a daughter who they kind of are holding over his head, the high table. They're threatening him. If he doesn't do what they say, his daughter's going to die.
Yeah.
So, the Marquis brings him in, says, I want you to kill John Wick. He has to do it. And throughout the movie, it's like you don't quite know whether he's going to do it or not. Like, literally.
No, but you can feel how hesitant he is to actually do it.
But then
he'd rather just talk to John.
Then he kills. What's his name? Shimazu. Kills Shimazu. Right? They have a brilliant fight between the two of them. He kills him because he's like, you're standing between me and John Wick. He keeps doing things that make you think this.
But even that fight, he was hesitant.
Yes.
He didn't actually kill him. Shimazu wouldn't stop attacking him.
Yes.
He attacked him again and then he killed him. But again, they have this plan in the end. I think it was planned.
Because
the only one that didn't know was Winston.
Yes.
And Winston is usually the one that knows everything.
And obviously the Marquis as well. But I think this was planned between them. The two of them, the backstory is that they were best friends.
Mm.
John also says an interesting line. I don't know if it's in your facts where he says to him, they gave you my name. Oh, he says they gave you my name as the hunt. I thought they meant Cain was his name. And I was like,
no. So he actually, when that character, that character was being written. That was a bad one. That character was being, did you know Lululemon was created because the owner was racist? Well, the name was chosen because the owner was racist. So he wanted to make fun of Japanese people and he called
Lululemon.
Yes.
Yo.
Heavy, no? Anyway, so the initial character when they were developing the Kane, he had an Asian name like Shang or Chang or something like that, and he wore like a Mandarin collar and stuff. And then working with Donnie Yen, he didn't like it because it was quite stereotypical. And he chose, like, look, everyone wears suits, put me in a suit and give me another name, Kane, and then they stuck with Kane. I thought it was amazing. Like, brilliant decisions. Yeah. And that plan worked out so well.
Immaculate plan. So they have their duel. You start at 30 paces. They each get one bullet. They keep shooting each other, but not like...
It's like old shots. Pistols.
Yeah, like legit.
Like 17th century pistols or something.
And they keep coming closer. So it's like, you miss, you come 10 paces closer, you miss, you come 10 paces closer. And on the last shot, Donnie Yen shoots. Mm. And it looks like John is about
to... It looks like a fatal shot.
It looks like a fatal shot. And then the Marquis suddenly decides...
Yeah, he's like, oh, no, I'm going to end it. I'm going to take the final shot. And he's like, okay. And he comes back. And
then Winston realizes...
He's like, you fool. You egotistical prick. He didn't fire. And he's like, what? And he's like, consequences. Headshot.
Tying right back to the Santino shot in John Wick 2.
I loved it.
Where that was like the reason for all of his trouble, and now it's the thing that resolves it for him.
He and just then, says consequences.
Yeah. And then John apparently goes off to the stairs and dies.
But I love this also. Like when they were on the river and taking him on the way to the church, they were talking about tombstones and what to put in their tombstones. Yeah. And that was quite nice because obviously King is going to be like long live the king. And it's the first time I think John actually thought about dying and the consequences and what could actually be reality. And he said, put loving husband on mine. I was like, this is
so beautiful. Because he finally has the time to think about the reason that he's actually back into this world. You know, which is the death of his wife and that the impact it had on him.
Yeah. And again, then on the stairs, he's thinking about his wife, those final moments.
Yeah, he says her name.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, he dies. And Jody, if this is the final movie for Keanu Reeves, I'm so happy.
I hope they end it, but I don't think they're going to. Lionsgate is apparently pushing hard. Well, remember, John Wick 4 and 5 were announced together.
Yeah.
And Lionsgate is like, this is the most profitable one so far. Each John Wick movie,
and this killed at the box office. This killed at the box office.
It is making an insane amount of money.
So they have the ballerina planned with Ana de Armas,
which is apparently almost done.
Yeah, and then they have a series.
And Keanu is in there, and
they have a series called The Continental,
which is a historical series set in the 70s.
But they now announced in the week I saw that they are planning an expanded universe.
Yes.
I think that's why they introduced Rina Sawayama.
And Nobody.
And Kane.
The Tracker.
And Nobody. And they introduced all these people because in the final scene, which I did not know there was an after credit scene.
You must sit.
Rina Sawayama's character Akira comes for Kane. Like you don't actually see it. You just see a flick of knife apparently.
Very Kill Bill Volume 1 because Kane says to her, where after he kills her father, you can come after me.
Yeah.
And then the movie ends with her coming at him and then it fades to black and we don't see what happens.
So I think that's going to be explored in series going forward. It's just...
I think so.
This, I hope, is the final chapter for Keanu because it was fucking amazing.
It's the best. They ended things the best you're way gonna they love could it. Have for his character.
Hati pop. Hati pop.
He gave the warning.
Hati...
She actually went outside. And we still spoiled it.
No, Jody, super quiet for me. I absolutely loved it. And it was an amazing experience. I think if you can go watch it in IMAX.
It is worth an IMAX ticket. Oh, yeah. I saw it in normal cinema. I would have gladly paid an IMAX ticket for this. Whatever you do, see IMAX this tickets. At the Bioscope.
Yeah. At the Bioscope if you can. I think it's going to run for a while still. Mm. Oh, yeah. That's that. And Bate is fat.
Yeah. No shout-outs this week.
We got no shout-outs, because we didn't prepare. So, fuck you.
No.
But,
hi, Jenna.
Shout-out to Jen. She's got a baby monitor on her. And she's doing them things. You know what I mean? Yeah. No sleep. Just breastfeeding.
Your milk.
Yeah. She's just currently a vessel for milk.
For life.
Yeah. She's a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a moo. Doja Cat. I'll send it to you. Okay. If someone wanted to find us, Jody, how would they do that? If somebody wanted to find us in the north, Jody, how would
they do that? It's 22. No.
Yo, that's still the
They can find us. Bioscope Brasser Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And you can write to us, bioscopebrasser@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah. Stay safe, everyone. Go watch John Wick. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Ross.
Gratatata.